The scripture today is going to be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 23, 1 to 12. I will be reading from the NIV. A warning against hypocrisy. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, you have blessed us in so many ways. We come to you today because, as always, we need to hear a word from you. So we humbly ask, dear Holy Spirit, that once again, you would pour yourself out on us, that once again, you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them. Breathe life into them. Make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Examples are really helpful. If you're trying to make a point and you lay out an idea, you're going to show somebody how something works. You're going to describe to them a process. That can work, but it really helps to have an example to help people really kind of see what you're talking about. So, for example, when I was on the road, my father-in-law would ask me off and on to tell him a story about trucking. His brother had been a driver and was a great storyteller. And so Dad would ask me sometimes if I had any good trucking stories. And I never wanted to share any of them because, you know, the thing about a trucking story is it's not a story unless something bad happens to somebody, right? I mean, if you have a story where I picked up the load, I bumped a dock, they took it off the trailer, that's not a story. Nobody wants to hear that. So, for example, had one of our guys was going into Baltimore to drop off a load, and our guys had been in there a bunch of times, but this fellow was relatively young and was new to the company, and so he hadn't been to this particular delivery yet. So this is his first time, and so he's going down. He's in a bit of a hurry because of some things that had happened earlier in the day, and so he's going down, and he does the classic looking for, oh, there it is. So he goes under the underpass and is thinking, I've got to get this turned around. Now he was pulling kind of our standard trailers, which were 13'6", 53, 102s. They're 13 feet, 6 inches tall, 53 feet long, and 8.5 or 102 inches wide, right? So you don't just turn that around anywhere. So he was looking for a spot. He got flipped around, and he's coming back through. And now he's really kind of in a hurry because he's really starting to run a little late. And you know, he wanted to get there. So he sees the underpass coming up and goes, okay, now I know I'm really close. And so he's rushing through, and then all of a sudden there's this terrible bang. Well, see, the problem was that on the one side, the underpass was 13.8. But on the side he was going back through, it was only 12.10. And so he got out and he looked out. So he got through and got stopped and looked, and the trailer was destroyed. He broke her back. The belly of the trailer is hanging down like this. The roof is all messed up. He's just devastated. And so doesn't have any idea what kind of shape the freight is in even. So he's standing there, and city cop comes up and looks at him and says, well, it could have been worse. You know, and here's the guy, he's standing almost in tears. He's just totaled a $30,000 trailer plus whatever happened to the freight that was in it. He's devastated, you know, and in that moment, if you're a driver, what you know to your toes is that I am so fired. And he looks at the cop and goes, what do you mean it could be worse? And the cop says, oh yeah, there was a guy who did that a couple weeks ago, only he got stuck. And so DOT came out and they fined him $30,000 for getting stuck. And then, because it was a rail overpass, Amtrak came out and fined him another $60,000. That's an example of a trucking story. And is why you don't have a story unless something bad happens to somebody. As we look at this text from Matthew today, Jesus is talking about examples. Now, Jesus is still in the temple in this week between Sunday and Thursday evening of Holy Week. Right, he's still there and has had this rolling confrontations with various groups of leaders from in Jerusalem. And so after the last group that went had come and gone, he looks at the crowd and says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, and he says, therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But the second thing that Jesus says here about the Pharisees is, don't do what they do. Now, we talked more about the first part in part one, about the do whatever they tell you. But the second thing that Jesus says is, don't do what they do. And Jesus begins to lay out all of the examples of things that they did that we should not emulate. The example that they set that we shouldn't follow. You know, there's a t-shirt that says, I'm not completely useless, I can be used as a bad example. Jesus is pointing to the Pharisees and saying, the only example you have here is a bad one. Don't do what they do. And Jesus begins to go into some great detail about the failings of the Pharisees. Now, one of the things that we need to remember is that not all Pharisees were the same. Jesus certainly took the Pharisees to task, but Jesus wasn't the only one who took them to task. There is evidence in Jewish sources that not everybody thought that the Pharisees were fantastic. Now, again, in part one, we started to talk a little bit about who the Pharisees were and how they got to where they are. But the important thing to remember now is they were absolutely dedicated legalists. They were absolutely determined that the faithful way to follow the commandments of God was to follow the commandments of God. The faithful way to be a child of Israel was to make sure that you followed all the rules. But not all the Pharisees followed them all in the same ways. And so an example of that, you know, and that's no surprise to us, isn't it? I mean, in our current election, as our current election shows us, not all Republicans are racist. Not all Democrats are radical liberals. Right? We're not all the same. We are not monolithic groups of individuals. Neither were the Pharisees. So some of those Jewish sources start out, our rabbis have taught. There are seven kinds of Pharisees. So let me just run them down really quickly. So one kind of Pharisee was called the Shikmi Pharisees. Basically, they were the Pharisees of the shoulder. In other words, they were folks who were very careful about following all the laws, but they did it in a way that you couldn't help but miss that they were following the law, right? It was the first century, second century, third century way to talk about it was, you know, they did it of the shoulder. We would say they did it on, they had their religion out on their sleeve. And the point seemed to be so that everybody else would know that they were doing it. So there are also the Nipki Pharisees. Those are the ones who would find all the excuses about why they just couldn't quite get around to doing what they were supposed to do now. We may have met some of those in the story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. I know I should help that guy, but golly, there's just something else I need to be doing now and can't quite get there. There were the Kasai Pharisees. They were the ones who were sometimes called the bruised or the bleeding Pharisees, because they were so determined not to have lust in their heart for a woman that they wouldn't look at them at all. In fact, they walked like this to the point that they would run into buildings and walls and things so they would never be guilty of having lustful thoughts about women they might see in the street. There were a group of Pharisees called the Pestle Pharisees, or sometimes called the Bowing Pharisees, that they were so humble that they actually bent over. In a way to be seen that they are so humble. Some of the Pharisees were of a group who were constantly looking at, so what is it that I need to do in this situation? Now that sounds like that would be a good thing, except that they were really kind of accountants. And so they kept a running tally of all the things they did that were right, all the times that they messed up, and wanted to make sure that they had a big long list of stuff they did do right so God would be impressed. And then there were Pharisees who served out of their absolute love for God. And the last group were Pharisees who served out of absolute dread for what God would do to them if they didn't get it right. So Jesus looks at this whole big group, these seven different kinds, and calls them out. Not because Jesus liked to call them out, but what Jesus teaches us about Pharisees reminds us that our example is powerful. Our example is powerful. Our example helps breathe life into our understanding. It helps us shine light on what does a life committed to Jesus look like. And it shines that light for those who are looking to see how do we best follow God. So, as we celebrate All Saints today, it's a time for us to celebrate those who have been a powerful, positive, faithful example of the Christian life for us. And so as part of our worship this morning, we would invite you, if you got the email, you got instructions for a cross, and would invite you to write your name, the names of those folks who have been a powerful, faithful, positive example for you, and to celebrate them by naming them on the cross. And then if you send that to us, and if you didn't get the email, there's a link on the website that will let you send your names to us. And what we'll do then is we'll take those names, we'll get them on a cross for you, and then we use those crosses as part of how we decorate, how we celebrate the Advent Christmas season here at Countryside. So I would invite you to take a moment and think about who are those folks who have been positive examples, who have showed you what it looks like to be a faithful follower of Jesus. To thank God for that and celebrate it. And also to remember that as powerful as those examples have been for us, we also have the opportunity to be that kind of example for others. As we celebrate All Saints, not only is it a time to celebrate those who have been an example for us, it's also a time to ponder what kind of example is my Christian life? Whose lives are being shaped by the way I follow Jesus? And in light of that, are there things I'd like to do better? Jesus has a lot of tough things to say to the Pharisees because their example doesn't match what they said. What that reminds us is that our examples are powerful. Powerful in a bad way, but especially powerful as a good example. of Christian living. Grace to you and peace. Amen.